Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Lover and our Redeemer, the Rock of our faith. I want to say Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It is good to be in the land of the living, once again able to praise and worship the Most High Elohim, willfully, with a joy in my heart, as I said. You know, sometimes you go think back and you know, I ain't supposed to be here. And this last past couple of weeks, you know, I had never felt so close to death. Really thought I was going to die in that hotel room. And, you know, all they call out is on the Most High. When the hotel front desk wouldn't answer the phone. when 911 didn't seem like it wanted to go through. And, you know, my breath just became more labored and labored. Nevertheless, Yah has seen fit to allow me to stay here and to continue. And we plan to do that with our whole heart, with whatever strength that we have. You know, there was a time that I couldn't even walk 3 or 4 feet without being just totally winded. Seriously, totally winded, out of breath. And it's hard to imagine that when you've never been that way. I've never been in this situation before. But yeah, it's good. And, you know, I'm now able to get up and walk around and not feel winded. You know, when I'm not exerting, doing a whole lot of exertion. And slowly but surely, I believe Yah for a complete recovery, better than I was before. And I truly do believe that, you know, we go through these things for a reason. So as I said before, one of the things that I got coming out of this was a matter of urgency. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And so the work that the Most High has assigned to me, I just see it and know that I can't be slack in it. I can't be saying, oh, well, I can take my time and do this. There's really, we are in the last days, and we really need to be about our Father's business. And this previous incident really showed me that. And on top of it, you know, the hospital that I went to, they were all filled up with COVID patients. No rooms available. And I was like, wow, stick me here in the middle of, you know, COVID, I don't know what to call it. It's like the center for COVID-19. But the Most High still allowed me not to contract that disease. You know, and everything that the way that I was, the way this was showing up, they really thought I had COVID-19. And I said, no, the devil's a liar. And the Most High is good to his word. Still didn't allow me to contract it, as he said, it is a judgment. So I'm praying that the Most High, for the work that needs to be done, the physical work that's going to need to be done. If I can't breathe, can't do no physical work. If I'm, you know, on the verge of having a heart attack, can't do no physical work. And the Most High is working some things out. The doctors, when they were looking at my heart, they were expecting one thing, but they saw something different. And so I thank the Most High that, you know, the reports are coming back. That this is nothing that is permanent. Just need to take care of some business. With that being said, I want to welcome each and every one of you out tonight to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Shabbat Shalom, family, no matter where you may be, on Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We have just finished the Day of Atonement a couple of days ago, and I pray that everybody from the lesson last night, that we understand that Messiah is our atonement when we come to him. He said he ascended once and was sacrificed and paid the price once and for all, not like the priest of old where they had to do it every year, but he did it once and for all. And so, you know, we want to be thankful to him that we have a way of atonement back to the Most High, and that we appreciate what Messiah has done for us, and that we don't take him for granted, but that we lift him up, and that we praise him, and we worship him, and we adore him, and we respect everything that he has done, because he made a way for us where there was no way. And so we don't want to walk lightly on what he has done. So on the Day of Atonement, as we remembered him and as we understand that he went into the Holy of Holies and made atonement for us, past, present, and future generations, once, he did it for the past people, but the present and for the future. And we are to respect that. We have the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. And this Feast of Tabernacles, this is a feast day in the future that all the nations of the world will be required to come to Jerusalem to worship the Most High. They will be required to camp outside of Jerusalem. But it also, there's a secondary and I think more so a primary meaning within that, within these feast days that are coming up, Feast of Tabernacles, is that we ourselves are those living tabernacles. And we're to carry the Most High wherever we go. We being the tabernacle and he being the Elohim within us. Just as the building tabernacle was, we found out that once Christ came, that through the flesh of Messiah, we get access to the Most High. The Most High fills us with his Spirit, and we become those living, breathing, walking tabernacles. And so we must also understand our role in this thing. So over the next week, we will be looking at us as the tabernacle. Right now, we are still going to be reviewing the covenant with which we are in. And the only way that we can know the one that we're in is to continue to review the old until we have everything covered. And we come into the new and we know what we're responsible for. We know what we're held to according to the Most High. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I just want to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to worship him in knowledge. I want to have a zeal about my worship for him, but I want it to be according to knowledge. Not just because I'm feeling good or I'm excited about serving him, but I need to know what he requires of me. And so we want to continue to look into this covenant on this evening to see what the Most High requires of us that we might walk upright before him in knowledge and in truth. I pray everybody has had a blessed week. I can't thank you enough for your prayers. I want to thank Sister Mary and Sister Denise for the card that they sent to my wife and I for our 30th anniversary. It is much appreciated. And it's, I didn't get to it was here in the mailbox while we were on, the vacation. And that vacation turned out to really not be a vacation. But as soon as, time permits, I will take her out for a dinner with your love offering to celebrate, our 30th. We appreciate you. Appreciate you all. We appreciate your prayers. And your concerns for me. Trust me, it's a good thing to know that people love you and that they are looking out for you and that they care about you. Nobody wants to not know that. So I thank you all once again from the bottom of my heart with all sincerity. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Raise up your voice to the Most High Elohim, because he is worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of all the honor. He is worthy of all the glory. Father, we just love you today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. You are our Elohim, and you are our Elohim all by yourself. We will not bow down ourselves to another, nor will we give our praise to another, our worship to another. But Father, you are the only one that we wish to bestow our adoration upon. You are good, Father, and you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. We thank you and we love you today, Father, for you are the great I am, the redeemer of all mankind. You are my Elohim. And I will always praise you, no matter what I'm going through. May the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel and that you would hear our supplication and our prayer. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and repenting from our sins. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. For our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, Father, all that you should call in Christ, that they should come and learn about you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom today, we have prepared a place here for you, that you would come and that you would sup with us, that it would be you that would be teaching us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captives, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High have blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, let us blow the shofar. Thank you.
I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high to worship you.
I bow down on my knees,
all praise
to you.
Up
high
to worship you,
down on my
knees,
all praise to you.
I vow to be humble, yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I
raise
to worship you. Bow down. All praise to you, up high,
to worship you,
yeah. I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you.
I know there's help for the heavy hearted. just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow, for all your tomorrow, knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it, and you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith. You gotta have some faith. Searching for purpose.
Chapter 19. Go over to some of the things that the Most High has in the covenant. We're not going to reread it. We'll be working out of chapter 20 tonight, 21. Leviticus chapter 19. Some of the things that were mentioned. Don't steal money through stealth. Not to rob someone openly. Not to swear falsely in the name of Yah our Elohim. Not to be a stumbling block before a blind man, nor give harmful advice. Not to curse any upstanding Hebrew or Jew, any upstanding person, not to curse them. Let's see. Not to judge. Must not have mercy on the poor man at a trial. Remember, Most High said he's not a respecter of persons. And so even when it comes to a poor man or a rich man, we're supposed to treat everybody equally. See, a judge must not have mercy, must not respect the great man at trial. So not respect the poor man at trial or the great man. A judge must not pervert justice. These are the laws that are in the covenant in chapter 19. Judge righteously, not to gossip, not to stand idly by if someone's life is in danger, not to hate your fellow brother, to reprove a sinner, not to embarrass others, to love your brothers, to love other Hebrews, not to take revenge, not to bear a grudge, not to plant diverse seeds together. So I'm talking about this one where, you know, you got people blending and doing GMOs, genetically modified plants and stuff. Most I tells us not to do that. Not to crossbreed animals. That's the same thing as genetically modifying them. When you take, you know, even when you take a dog of this breed and breed it with a dog of another breed. He's saying that we're not supposed to do those things. Not to crossbreed animals. Not to pass your children through the fire to Molech. And that really came out of, was in 18 as well. Not to eat fruit of a tree during the first 3 years. You know, it was saying when we read this, for what the Most High has put it on my heart to do, to go buy land in the wilderness and to, you know, start putting dwellings on those lands that we might have a place to go when everything starts to break down. That if we're going to be planting on those lands, according to his word, the first 3 years we can't eat the fruit. So, you know, we can't wait until the last minute to do these things, because we're going to, you know, we're going to have to eat. And if we plant, then we're going to be expecting that, oh, we're going to be eating up this crop, but not the first 3 years. We got to be in obedience to the Most High. So, you know, we're going to have to, some things that have to be done, and time is of the essence. In the fourth year, the crops must be totally for the holy purpose to be presented to the Most High. So the first 3 years we can't eat it. The fourth year it belongs to the Most High. Then every year after that we can. It's ours. Not to be superstitious. Not to engage in divination or soothsaying. You know, witchcraft. These are all the things that were in chapter 19. Men must not shave their heads off to the sides of their heads, like square it off or round it off. Must not shave their beards with a razor. Not to tattoo the skin. You know, a lot of us walking around with tattoos. And, you know, we're getting them because they're popular or whatever, but the Most High said his people aren't to have them. To show reverence to the temple. And, you know, even more so because we are the temple today. So we should be valuing, you know, our bodies, and especially when it comes to the worship and their presentations to the Most High. Not to be a magical or, you know, a person that practices magic. Not to commit injustice with scales and weights. So he always wanted us to use fair weights, that we don't be cheating each other or cheating anybody. Okay. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20 now. We're going to be reading from the book. Leviticus chapter 20. These things are in the scripture. And so, again, we're wanting to know what thus saith Yah Elohim, not what thus saith Brother Miles. You know, because sometimes I believe people get angry at things, and it's like as though I said them myself. But we're reading straight from the word of the Most High. And so we have to reconcile our feelings with the word and with the Most High. I'm sure there's somebody that got offended because we read you're not supposed to have a tattoo. But, you know, they find themselves with a tattoo. Got to reconcile that with the word and with the Most High. And we're just coming straight from the word. Now, don't want us ever to forget that. Okay, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel. So, you know, this wouldn't be a double standard. Israel wasn't to have a separate standard, and the strangers that lived amongst Israel, who wanted to be a part of Israel, couldn't have a separate standard than this standard. Let me start at the beginning. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now the Most High is setting the gauntlet down. You worship another god. It simply was a death sentence. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given up his seed to Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Now, you know, the name of the Most High, his name, is important to him. You know, that the creation wasn't important enough to the Most High. That you know how you see an artist who when he draws a picture, he signs it at the bottom with his name to let you know he created that picture, or some type of statue or whatever, they sign their name at the bottom. But the Most High didn't even think that the creation was important enough or big enough that he gave his name in the beginning. He didn't give his name. Just said in the beginning, Elohim. But when it came to our salvation and to get us out of trouble, he had to use his name. And in using his name, he don't like his name just used any kind of way. So he doesn't like us to profane his name, to treat it as unholy, to use it any kind of way, without respect, without reverence, to cause evil to be spoken of him. He doesn't like that. So his name was, you know, the universe wasn't important enough for him to give his name, but when it came to our salvation, he said, now I got to use my name. I got to give you my name. And I don't want you, I'm taking you as my people and I'm giving you my name, and I don't want you profaning my name. Okay. If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. So it was very clear that the Most High doesn't want us worshiping other gods, and he doesn't want us tolerating anyone among us worshiping other gods. You know, because we have, you know, a lot of times we think things are innocent, and something that may seem innocent may not be innocent. And I, for one, you know, I can only speak for me. I don't want to take any chances with it. That, you know, I'm allowing the worship of another so-called deity, trying to be nice, trying not to offend someone. Wanted to be very clear and straightforward. We're only worshiping one Elohim, and anything that looks like, sounds like, smells like, is introducing another Elohim, another a goddess or whatever, then I have to step to that quickly, because I don't want to take a chance of going down that road and ending up in the lake of fire because I was afraid I was going to offend someone. So we have to, you know, we have to all remain safe. Verse 6. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, this familiar spirits, as I've told you, these are spirits that are usually those of our loved ones that have passed on, and people, you know, conjure them back up. And sometimes they allow them to possess someone. and use them to that, you know, to that end. The Most High says that we're not to go after familiar spirits. We're not supposed to be asking them, you know, what's it like on the other side, or can you tell me something about this person, because they're going to ask another spirit, maybe somebody who is already passed in another family, but you want to know about this person. He said, don't do it. And there are people, you know, we have had TV shows where people were actually doing this. I can't even think of the name of them right now, but I'm sure that you have seen them, where, you know, they say that this person can talk to the dead. And then they're telling you, you know, asking the person questions, the dead person questions about this particular person in the audience. That's dealing with familiar spirits, okay? Wizards is just a male witch. And so when we start depending upon, you know, we start depending upon these people to tell us things, to give us insight, then we're chasing after them and we're going whoring after them. Because, you know, sooner or later be like, well, I need some money or I need whatever. To find out about what's going on. Verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am Yah your Elohim. For I am Yah your Elohim. We got to always remember this. The closer we come to the Most High, the more holy we must be. And we can't just think that we're going to be in a relationship and still be doing things that we used to do. Doesn't work that way. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yah which sanctifies you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. What? She gets loud. So, all right. Hurry up. And the man that lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. Both he and they, that were there be no wickedness among you. So the Most High is not leaving any, you know. Again, he tells us that these things aren't being brought up in general or in passing. These things were being done in these nations. And he's saying, I don't want this to be amongst you, Israel. So these are not things that, you know, it's nothing new up under the sun. These things were being done to the people, by the people in these nations. So he's telling Israel, I don't want you doing it. And if you do it, this is the penalty for it. But it's the penalty for all these other nations as well, because the Most High is going to judge them as well. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. He shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach in unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, we read these same things in previous chapters. So it must be important to the Most High. It's just straight up wickedness. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and seek her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. So, you know, this things that people practice and think that, you know, it ain't no harm in it. The Most High is saying, yeah, there's some harm in it, and you shouldn't be doing it. You know, and in this case, he's saying, hey, that they should be cut off. They should be cut off from the people. Okay, so he's calling us to be what? Holy. And he's telling us that, hey, if you practice any of these things, you are unholy. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovered his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Now, you know, I used to wonder. I used to wonder at some things, because there are some people I knew that didn't have children. And then I go back and look at their life. And sometimes they might say some things, and you look at them like, are you saying what I think you're saying? And it's never really confirmed. But then you see that they are childless. And it just made me go back and say, okay, did you actually really do this thing that the Most High will cause you to be childless? Okay, we have, you know, we all were in the world at one time, and we all did our dirt. But also, you know, we all had certain levels that we would not allow ourselves to go to, certain things we would not allow ourselves to do. But some people allow themselves to go there. Okay. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. So, you know, anyway, let's move on. Verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments. And see, here is where I think people get in trouble. Because there's the statute, the requirement, but the judgment that goes along with the statute, the penalty that goes along with it, a lot of times people don't want to do what the Most High said to do concerning it. But what I'm learning is, it's not optional. It's like if the Most High says, you know, that crime requires to cut off this finger. And we'll say, well, we don't think that crime should cost that much. But he has already made the judgment. We can't undo it. We either obey it or disobey it. There ain't no in between. We either obey it or disobey it. And so when we're looking at the book of Romans, chapter 10, and he says, Israel declared their righteousness above his righteousness. They chose to do what they wanted to do rather than what his judgments were. So it's like you go to court and the judge tells you, I find you guilty, and the judgment is this, 30 days in jail. And then you decide you don't want to do 30 days in jail. The judgment has been made. You flee. You run. You break bail. That's not worth 30 days. I'm not doing 30 days for that. But the judge has already rendered the judgment. And it's the same way with the Most High Elohim. He has already rendered the judgment. And we want to judge otherwise. He's saying, no, you shall keep my judgments and my statutes. So let's read that again. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments. I've already judged this matter. Doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter what you feel about it. This is my judgment, and do them. That the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. So, this is what Elohim is saying to us. I have already judged in these matters. You can't bring your own judgment. You can't bring your opinion or your feeling. You might want to appeal. You might want to plead the person's case. But if the Most High don't change his mind, the judgment stands. And I know this is where Israel, our forefathers, got in trouble. Just didn't want to do it. Verse 23. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they commit all these things. Therefore, I abhor them. Everything that we've talked about, he said, these nations were doing. I don't want you doing it. Don't even go among them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land. And I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yah your Elohim, which have separated you from among other people. You are to be separated. I am to be separated. We are to be separated. We cannot be like the nations. We can't take on their ways. Our judgments come directly from the Most High. So if it's contrary to the world, you can't pick the world. Even though you might be more aligned to the world, you can't pick the world. You got to pick the judgments of the Most High. Verse 24 again. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yah your Elohim, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beasts. Don't make your souls abominable by animals or by fowls, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. See, when we review what Yah Elohim has said, and he says, now I'm going to take these same statutes, these same laws, and these same commandments in the new covenant, I'm going to write them in your heart. We might have a problem if we find ourselves contrary to what the Most High has said. But we have to bring ourselves in a line with him and not expect that he's going to align himself with us. So we're not to make ourselves abominable. We're not to make ourselves unclean. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be clean. We're supposed to be set apart from others. There's some things they can do we cannot do. And if we want to continue doing them, then that means that we don't want to be his. We want to be with them. We want to do what they do. It's just the bottom line. He said he took it to separate us from other people. Let's read verse 25 again. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable, your bodies abominable, for beast or fowl or any manner of living thing that creeps upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You know, we might think, hey, my child wants a lizard. They want it as a pet because they've seen somebody else with a lizard as a pet. Can't have it. Because we're a separated people. Or they might want a monkey or a raccoon or a possum or a gerbil or a rat. Can't have them because they've been determined to be unclean to us. But, you know, we live in a world and in an environment where these things are acceptable for them. They're not acceptable for us. So it is not an easy thing to call yourself a child of the Most High, especially if there's some things in the world that, you know, you don't see nothing wrong with it, but he does. Verse 26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I am holy, and have separated you from other people, that you should be mine. I want each and every one of us to consider this, to be the Most High. See, because we got this Christian viewpoint of what it means to belong to him. Christianity has basically taken a world opinion, a world view, and said, hey, as long as you love your brother and your sister, and as long as you love, quote-unquote, the Lord, then all this other stuff they don't even consider. What kind of pet you got at home? What is clean and what's unclean? Don't even consider these things. But the Most High says, you want to be mine, I have separated you. And this is how I have separated you. Can't touch all that stuff. Can't eat all that stuff. Can't have the pets that they have. Can't do the things that they do. Because those things make you unholy. And see, we have defined holiness for ourselves. But the Most High gives us his definition of holy. And we can't change it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So these are the things that I'm telling you. As my people, you cannot do. You want to belong to me? Then you got to stay away from all those abominable things. Those things that I have said are abominable. Those things which I have separated you from. Let's read verse 25 again, and we'll move on. You shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creeps upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Got a problem with that? You got to take it up with the Most High. It's just that simple. And you shall be holy unto me, for I am holy, and have separated. Sever means to cut off, like with an axe. Where, you know, you just cut straight through it. I have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Want to be the Most High? Then this is what it takes. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So if that person, you know, because you get a familiar spirit, you have to actually invite that thing in. You have to, you know, it's a willful thing. It's a participating thing. It's not like a possession where it's violent, where you're not a willing participant. Like with a demonic, and some demonic possessions are willful. But a lot of them are not. And so if the person willfully invites a demonic spirit in, it's almost you can't throw them out because they're there by permission. But if they're there, you know, if they just took over, then you can cast them out. You have authority to cast them out. Familiar spirits are like that demonic spirit. That person asked that spirit to come. And they're almost impossible to throw out. Can be, because they're usually not violent. They're usually not trying to, you know, hold in there, like get a toe grip and hang on. They usually will go. But you got to know what you're dealing with. So the Most High, these are His rules. These things, I can guarantee you, don't go away in the New Covenant. They don't go away. And He says we have to keep those judgments. They don't go away. We don't get to make up our own mind concerning them. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled by the dead among his people. Did you know that it is not as a priest, it's not really lawful for you to go to a funeral except for a near kin? You know how the church be having people to have funerals all up in the church and bring dead people all up in the church upon holy ground? Just acting like a wild woman. You know, we grow up and we see this stuff. And it's just a way of life. It's not until you start to read the scriptures and line it up with the scriptures that you understand, whoa, we ain't supposed to be doing that. So let's read this carefully so that we understand. And Yah said unto Moses, well, let me stop here for a minute. Because you have to ask yourself, where does this stuff come from? Where does it come from? These are people bringing in the traditions of their people, bringing it into Christianity, bringing it into the church, bringing it into the body. And people are like, it seems like a good thing to do. But if you belong to the Most High, hear what the word of the Most High is saying to you, okay? Because the church is out of order. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. This is the priesthood. but for his kin that is near unto him, that is for his mother, for his father, for his son, for his daughter, or for his brother, for his sister, a virgin. If she's married, she belongs to that other family now. Maybe that's hard for us to hear. But if she's married, she belongs to this other family now. For his sister, a virgin, that is nigh unto him, which has no husband, for her he may be defiled. If she's married, he can't go to her funeral. Wants to hear this. Because, see, we just, you know, somebody passed, they're a loved one, they're a friend of the family, and we all up in the funeral, we all up, you know, doing all these things, and you can't do that and belong to the Most High. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their heads. We're not supposed to really shave ourselves bald with a razor. Neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto their Elohim, and not profane the name of their Elohim, for the offerings of Yah made by fire, and of the bread of their Elohim they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. There's a requirement. Now, this priesthood is not in effect today because we have no temple. But even of the Melchizedek order, there are rules, and these same rules apply. They shall not take a wife that is a whore, or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his Elohim. The Most High says that, you know what? As a priest of the Most High, you can't appear before me in any kind of way. You can't appear before me in any kind of relationship. You can't just do what you want to do. There's a standard. And, you know, we have to go by the word of the Most High. Period. So, you know, we might feel that, hey, this person was in this relationship. Because, see, we take in relationships today, and they are not like the relationships that the Most High ordained. Just got to put it where the cats can get it. Put it where the dogs can get it. The relationships that we have today are not like the relationships that the Most High has ordained between a man and a woman. We were completely off the farm, getting into all kind of relationships. But those relationships disqualify us for certain things. We think that, oh, because, you know, we were ignorant, we were unaware, that the Most High is supposed to say, well, you know, it's okay. He doesn't. He doesn't say it's okay. And so, you know, you got to lead a very purposed life. Purpose. That means you got to know who you are. You got to know what your calling is. You got to know what your responsibilities are. And that if you step outside of those, you disqualify yourself. Now, this is the word of the Most High. So, you know, we have to take these things. That's why I say when we're dealing with us as a people, when we're dealing with us as a people, we're in trouble. And we think that, and I don't know why we think this, but we think that the Most High just got to say, it's all good. Not when you want to come close. Got to be holy. Verse 6 again. They shall be holy unto their Elohim, and not profane the name of their Elohim. For the offerings of Yah made by fire, and the bread of their Elohim they do offer. Therefore, they shall be holy. He don't play with this stuff. And because we were cast out, scattered across all the nations of the world, because we were caused to forget who we were, and we're trying to come back to our Elohim, we have to come back correct. And we got brothers and sisters trying to do some things that are contrary to the Most High Elohim, and thinking that the Most High is supposed to bend to their situation. Doesn't work that way. Most of us have to be happy that we even have a chance to get in. Now we want to be something. We want to be someone. We may have disqualified ourselves and may just need to be happy getting in. Let's continue. Verse 7, thou shalt not take a wife that is a whore, a woman that is slept around, or profane. Neither shall you take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his Elohim. There are certain relationships that a male priest cannot get into. She's a good woman. She's repented. She's turned from her ways. And Yah has forgiven her her sins. But she's disqualified for that particular position. Just like that man that wants to have multiple wives. He is disqualified. Verse 8, thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offers the bread of thy Elohim. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, Yah, which sanctify you, am holy. Can't come around the Most High just in any kind of condition. Your life has to be, can't just be in any kind of way. And so we have done some things, and we want to occupy, certain positions. We desire to do some things, but we got to look and see what are the requirements. Verse 9, and the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire. See, we are in such trouble because, we have no control over our children. They don't hold themselves to the same standards as the Most High. And the Most High is saying, hey, you want to come close to me, your children have to also be in obedience. And if they're not, There was a price to pay. See, we just say, oh, well, that's them. You know, I had to have a talk with my son and my daughters. I said, because of who I am, you can't be doing all these things. And you're out here and you want to be doing all these things. But your life is not your life. I was laying in bed, had to be a couple of nights ago. You know, woke up taking these meds, and these meds make you go to the bathroom all night long, like every 30 minutes. So I'm sitting there waiting for the next bout to hit me of when it's time to go use the bathroom. And the Most High put it on my heart to, you know, look at the relationships and to look at starting with the family, and then from the family moving out to the neighborhood, and from the neighborhood moving out into the city, and from the city into the nation, from the nation into the world. Sort of had me looking at it from these different levels. And one of the problems that, like, you know, like I told my children, I said, hey, so it used to be you would go into the family business if there was a family business. As I said, as long as you've been knowing me, I have my own company. But neither one of you wanted to come into my business. And you wanted to seek your own, you know, your own way of making a living. And I said, and I allowed that, but I realized I made a mistake. I should have forced you into my business. This is what you're going to do. Because as the family unit, then as my children, they should have become a work unit within the family business, and causing the family business to prosper, so that when they got older, and you know, they would already have a trade. But they would also, the value would be that they are doing things for the family, that the family might prosper, and that we might all have all things equal and in common. So I could say, okay, son or daughter, we're going to go make a down payment on your house, and we're going to all work through the business to pay off your house, and then we'll repeat the process for the next one. But we're all working in the same business, and you prosper by that. It's the same way with the body of Messiah and the Commonwealth of Israel. If people can see it and understand it, that we all work for the same common goals. So we go out, we buy land, we put the dwellings on the land. It doesn't cost a person per se to live there, but their work and their effort and their income goes toward the community. And so when we start buying cars, then everybody gets cars, those types of things. Something that I will bring up with the, you know, with everybody at another time. But it had me looking at it in the macro or the micro. With my own family. We should all be in the business of priesthood. So what your daughter does or your son does as a priest of the Most High matters, because they're representing not just you, but the Most High Elohim. And so we have gotten so far away from what Yah wants and the way he has set things up. It's no longer tribal. We're trying to figure out who we are as a people, much less, you know, what tribe we're in. And so a lot of these things are foreign to us. They're strange to us. And because we live in a land of liberty, and we live in a land where every man for himself, and we teach our children, you know, make a life for yourself, when they really should have been coming into the family business. This is what we're known for. We've got everybody doing everything. And so these verses, well, you decide to be a priest. I was just born your daughter. Excuse me? But that's the mentality. And so we, you know, we read these verses and think that that's strange. That's rough. But it's because of the mentality that we have. So we want to come close to the Most High. We have to be set up. You cannot do this stuff set up like the world. Can't do this stuff set up like the world. There's a whole different mentality. And so we want to be close to the Most High. We want to have a relationship. We want to be holy. We want to be clean. But we're still holding on to the, what I want to call the old ways. Let's say the new old ways. The things that we learned after we were scattered amongst the nations. That's what we want to hold on to. We don't want to go back and pick up what Yah has said. This is your culture. This is your way of life. We don't want to pick that up. Too afraid we're going to lose something where we're at. But I'm just here to tell you, cannot do these things holding on to the old, the new old ways. Must go all the way back to the original old ways and pick these things up as far as culture goes. Can't hold your children accountable if your way is not to make them actually be part of your life. It's not important how you represent yourself. What's important is what makes you happy, because that's what we teach them. But that's not the way of the Most High. And that's not the way that he set things up for us. And we are to be accountable. So that our sons couldn't just do anything and our daughters couldn't just do anything. Right now, somebody can tell me different. We don't have that. We do not have that. So it's hard to implement these things, hard to reinforce them, because we just don't have those values. But if we say that we are the people of the Most High, then the Most High didn't give us a choice. You either do them and be his people, or you don't and don't be his people. Stop trying to fake it. Stop trying to live on the edge. Must embrace it. All of it. And that's hard for some people because this has not been our way. Has not been what we created our values on. Has not been what we have created our standards on. Therefore, when we make judgments, our judgments are coming from our own value system and not the value system of the Most High Elohim. So we'll find these things hard. Let's continue. He that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointed oil was poured, that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes, tear his clothes. Neither shall he go in to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. So now we got a change here. You can defile yourself for your father or your mother unless you are in the role of the high priest. You've been consecrated. The oil has been poured, the anointing oil has been poured on your head. You have the garments on. You can't go to your father or your mother's funeral. Can't go outside the sanctuary. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his Elohim. For the crown of the anointing oil of his Elohim is upon him. I am Yah. See, requirements. Your mother just died. Your father just died. You are the high priest. It's your turn. You can't go. Your brothers and your sisters can go, but you can't go. With all these different standards, the bottom line is, comes down to obedience. God says, don't come around me with no dead anything on you. I don't care if it is your mother or your father. If you are unclean, don't come around me. So we don't take these things serious. Bringing dead bodies into the sanctuary, up around the altar, call ourselves having a home-going party, a service. Totally out of order. Out of order. You have defiled yourself. Wasn't even your relative. But see, we don't think in that regard because we've never been taught in that regard because we never knew who we were. Because we were caused to forget. And we became like our captors. They do that stuff. But I want you and I to see and to understand that the Most High has put a requirement on you, and that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. So how do you do those things? Messiah said, let the dead bury the dead. Even when he went to those that were dead, he did it to show who he was. So you got to understand that the closer you get to the Most High, the closer you get to him, the cleaner you got to be. Your life has to reflect that. You know, we're kings and priests today, and we're living like the common man. We're living like the rank sinner. Now, I'm not saying that we're out there sinning like them, but we are living amongst them, intertwined with them, doing things that we ought not do because we don't know or value who we are. It's just a title. No, that title comes with responsibilities. It comes with expected behavior. It comes with not doing some things that, because you are consecrated, because you are separated. You got a best friend their auntie just died, and they want you to come to the funeral. Technically speaking, you ain't supposed to go. But I don't want to offend them. But you'd rather offend the Most High. It's not an easy life. So you see why the Most High had an ought with our forefathers. Because these are his statutes and his judgments. And this is what he says makes you holy. And when you want to defy him, then you go against what he said. You do what you want to do. You know, it ain't going to hurt. He'll forgive me. You don't know that. Because he said you're supposed to die. A different Elohim, a different Elohim than what the church has taught us. And we're trying to grab hold of things and claim some things, claiming things that we have no idea in what we're claiming. Have no idea in the requirements of what we're claiming. But it sound good. Sounds good. Verse 13. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or a profane woman, or a harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people. For I, Yah, do sanctify him. That means he can't go around sleeping. He's not at liberty to go around sleeping around. You got your wife. That's who you better be sleeping with. You better not be slinging your seed everywhere. Verse 16, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of the seed of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his Elohim. Got a blemish, got a pimple. Can't offer the bread. For whatsoever man he be that has a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that has a flat nose, or anything superfluous. A flat nose. Or a man that is broken footed, or broken hand. Or a crooked back, or a dwarf, or that has a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or has his stones broken, testicles. No man that has a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of Yah, made by fire. He has a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of Elohim. He shall eat the bread of his Elohim, both the most holy and the holy. Only he shall not go unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he has a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary. For I, Yah, do sanctify them. So everybody couldn't just come. You were blind. Had a broken hand, crippled, maimed. Couldn't couldn't come, couldn't sanctify, couldn't present, couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies. Couldn't offer the bread of the Most High. Now, there's some people that would have, you know, have a problem with that. But Yah has said it. Leviticus chapter 22. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they may profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am Yah. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goes unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto Yah. This is all their sacrifices. Anything that they brought as an offering, as a sacrifice. This is what he's speaking to. Having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am Yah. So let's read verse 3 again. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed, among the, your generations, that goes unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto Yah, having his uncleanness upon him. This is the priest. That soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am Yah. Don't come and touch anything of mine that is holy, being in an unclean state. You test a dead body. Don't come and mess with anything that is holy. And have sex with your wife. Don't come and have anything to do with anything that is holy until you're in a clean state. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or has a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things. He's unclean. Just like when we talked about the woman giving birth and all the time that she was in the time of her purification, she could not take part in anything that was holy. No man or woman being in an unclean state can take part of anything that is holy while they're in that unclean state. And remember, with uncleanliness, there's a time period. So it don't matter if you jumped up and took a shower and physically you're clean, but the Most High says, nope, you're unclean until the evening. I told you to wash and you're still unclean until the evening. So he's talking about the priesthood here. Aaron, if they're a leper, it's a long-term uncleanliness, or has a running issue. Maybe they got some type of running sore. Shall not eat of the holy things until he be what? Clean. And whoso touches anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him. See, most men would just read right over this part right here. Or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever touches anything, any creeping thing, whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanliness, whatsoever uncleanliness he has, that soul which has touched any such thing, that soul which has touched any such shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. So if he don't wash his flesh with water, even after the evening, he's unclean. He's got to wash himself with water, and he's unclean until that evening. Then he can eat and partake of the holy things. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean. See, And he shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself, or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat, to defile himself therewith. I am Yah. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die. Or at least they bear sin for it and get slapped on the wrist. Lest they bear sin for it and get scolded. No. He says, die. Therefore, if they profane it, I do sanctify them. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priest, somebody visiting the priest's house, or a hired servant, you got somebody doing some work at your house, shall not eat of the holy thing. So there are some things like Passover. You cook that meal. Can't just invite just anybody to Passover. Can't just offer the Passover meal to just anyone. Oh, you know, the workmen out there, I know they're hungry. Let me offer them some of this Passover meal. You can't do it. You have somebody visiting your house, and they don't even observe Passover. But you say, hey, we about to eat. You want to eat with us? You ain't supposed to do that. Let's keep going. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. Verse 10. A sojourner of the priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buy any soul with his money. Now this is the priest going out and buying a bond servant. He shall eat of it. And he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. So now their position has changed. They are now part of his family. He's required to provide for them. So they must also, he has to train them to be clean as well. And they can eat of the holy things. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of the offering of the holy things. She changed her status. She married a stranger. She married one of another country. She's no longer qualified to eat the holy things. Thank you. So let's read that again. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow, or divorced, or have no child, and is returned unto her father's house, as if in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat. For there shall no stranger eat thereof. So now she's divorced, she's widowed, she's no longer part of this other household. She's back up under her father's house. That's probably a strange thing today. But now she can re-eat of the holy things. If a man eat of the holy things unwittingly, unknowingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof into it and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. It's a penalty. You didn't know that was holy? You got to pay a fifth part. Give it to the priest. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto Yah, or suffer them to bear the iniquities of trespass when they eat their holy things, for I, Yah, do sanctify them. What time we got? 6:51. Yeah, let me try to finish this real quick. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel that will offer his oblation for all his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto Yah for a burnt offering. You shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, and of the bevies, of the sheep, and of the goats. But whatsoever has a blemish, that shall you not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace offerings unto Yah to accomplish his vow, a freewill offering in bevies or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wind or scurvy or scab, you shall not offer these unto Yah, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar of Yah. Either a bullock or a lamb that has anything superfluous or lacking in its parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. But for a vow, it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer unto Yah that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your hand, in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your Elohim of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, 7 days up under its mother, and the eighth day, and thenceforth it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire unto Yah. So you had to wait 7 or 8 days before you could just take this lamb from this mother sheep to offer it. And whether it be a cow or a ewe, you shall not kill it. Her young both in one day. Kill it and her young both in one day. When you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yah, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten, and you shall leave none of it until tomorrow. I am Yah. So let's go back to the peace offerings where you had to eat it that day. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am Yah. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am Yah, which hallows you. So he reiterates concerning these animals and whether they can be, how they were to be considered to be unblemished. Now, if you go into Malachi, and we'll close it here for this evening. If you go into Malachi, you will find that the people have started bringing animals that were blemished, and the priests were accepting them. Because what happened was, the people stopped taking care of the house of the Most High. They stopped taking care of the priesthood. They expected them to get jobs and to own land and to farm, and they weren't bringing them what the Most High told them to bring. And so when the people were bringing, you know, if this was his living and somebody, you know, nobody's bringing offerings. And so here comes somebody with a blind sheep or a cow that has a broken leg. They forgot that they were making these offerings to the Most High. And he gave it to the priest. They started looking at that they were giving these offerings to the priest and instead of the Most High. Okay, so they got this stuff all twisted around. For you and I, as we look into these things, we know that the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices and things, are not applicable today. But the moral requirements behind it, that we should be clean anytime that we're taking part in anything that has to do with the Most High. We should be clean. We should not be in an unclean state. So as we bring these things forward, as I said, you know, what is done away with, we clearly want to make sure that we are aware that, hey, that doesn't apply today. But what has not been done away with, we need to bring ourselves in compliance with. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this evening. Father, you are the Spirit of truth. And it is in your truth that we seek to walk in, that we strive to walk in. Father, let your word be true in every man alive. Give us clarity, Father. Give us the spirit of submission to your word, to your way, to your will. Give us a heart to adopt our culture back, Father. That we try not to make this thing work in a system that will not allow it to work. That we might be able to come closer to you and to serve you in the spirit of holiness and sanctification according to your standards, not those that we make up on our own. Father, bless each and every person here tonight. Give them clarity in your word, a desire to do thy will, and to be holy, for you are holy. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, I don't know if we're going to continue. Most I've been putting some things on my heart. I don't know if we're going to continue in this. More than likely we will. Don't know if he's through giving me what he's giving me, what I'm seeing. I think I need to start writing. But we will have service tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. So I pray that the Most High encampeth angels around you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High Elohim loves you. Shalom, family. Probably need my glasses.
I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. the mishpacha good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a